That sounded mighty nice. I think you can tell from the variety of speakers that we're all different. I sometimes feel like Popeye. What do you know about him? I am what I am. And sometimes I wish there was a magical can of spinach. Nevertheless, let's read, please, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and let's read at verse 1, please. Luke 16 and verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? There's enough in those few words right there to make a whole message. And maybe if you don't get anything from all the rest, maybe you should ask yourself, how much owest thou unto my Lord? But let's read on, please, in verse 6. And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended. Now that's just not right. Is it? The Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, or friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Trust that the Lord will bless what we want to consider from this passage today. Now, I've got some W's, and if you can follow, I'll just try and speed through them and hope that they will have some effect and some purpose for you even today. I want you to notice, first of all, what comes up at the very beginning, and it's waste. waste. Here's a servant who has been elevated to management, and probably that was because of his former skills and abilities, and they were noticed and recognized, but obviously, somehow, those skills and abilities have been let lie fallow. And he had forgotten his real purpose. And he slipped from the responsibility that he was given, at least in his own thinking. And he had wasted what he had been intended for. I can think of a man just now, and I shouldn't take time to do this, but I've known him for a long time. And he is a believer. He's angry with his dad, has been for even 30 years since his father died. That man is 75 years of age, and his wife, pardon me, his life, has no direction. It's just plain sad. Here's a man, and it was clear he had wasted what he had been intended for. Is that speaking about his time? The energies that were supposed to have been put into that which was profitable for his master, that which would have had benefit to all? Was it his time? Have we wasted time? You say we've all wasted time, and you're absolutely right, I know. Have I wasted time that was another's, that belonged to someone else, for whom I am accountable, to whom I owe everything? Am I wasting my time? But not only was it time, but it seemed as though he had wasted what he'd been entrusted with, the goods of his master. The things that obviously his master had placed under his control, had placed within his power, within his ability to deal with and to work with. I don't know. But I do know it applies today. Have I wasted what he gave me to use for him? Have I frittered away my time and missed my purpose? Instead of adding gain and glory to my master, have I done the opposite? You'll notice that this man had wasted what was his, and I suppose the most important thing that he had wasted was the trust that his master had placed in him. And you and I have been trusted and entrusted by the one who has saved us with ever so much. We are blessed, aren't we? And it's a rich blessing that comes from God. And it's an enablement that he has provided for us. And it's a wonderful thing to just be in his plan, to be in his mind, to be in his heart, to be someone for him. What does the Lord put into your hands? What has he entrusted you with? A few short years to spend on earth? It quickly passes by from the moment of our birth till the time comes when we must die. And in a million years, where will you be? You'll notice that he had wasted, and there were watchers. Do you see that? There was someone who noticed, there was someone who saw it. And not everyone who's a watcher, not everyone who observes us. I remember my neighbor came over, and he was kind of a curmudgeon sort of a guy, former police officer and pretty rough in a lot of ways, but he was very good to me. And he came over one day when I was building a trellis, and he sat there on the lawn and he watched me. And I said, "What are you doing here, Roger?" He said, "I just wanted to see what a preacher says when he hits his thumb." Neighbors watch us. Believers watch us. Young believers watch where we set our sails. They watch where we put our values. They observe whether we're faithful to things that are so important to God. There were watchers. And not every watcher is willing to speak up, but there was one, and he was a witness to it, and he had noticed. You know, sometimes we see things. We see things in the lives of people. That's one of the things about Facebook, I suppose. And sometimes I wonder why people put stuff on there. And I'm not on a witch hunt. Life is more than just stuff. But there are watchers. And not everybody has the courage to say something. I'm guilty. There are times when the things I would like to say, there are times when the reproach, the rebuke that I sometimes feel pressed to do, I chicken out. I don't say it. Because I know we all live in glass houses and you should never throw stones if that's the case. I'm well aware of that. And I am positive that someone could look at my life and they could see some inconsistency, something that doesn't belong there, something that's not for the glory of God, something that just shows I'm wasting time and opportunity and my master's goods. And not everybody is willing to go up to you and say, "Brother, have you ever thought about that? Or, sister, all that stuff that you've collected that you thought you needed, did you really need it? Does it really matter?" I better move on. They were watchers. We're all accountable. Sometimes and occasionally it happens that some younger believer will go to another believer and will say, "I'd like to be accountable to you." And some of us don't feel up to the task because our lives become just a little more open than sometimes we want it to be. But if you notice tendencies and you can't seem to get control through the Spirit of God in your own life, sometimes another believer can be a tremendous help for you just to keep you on track. Just to keep you pointed in the right direction. I'm thankful for people in my life, my early life, when there were folks who obviously they cared. And some of them were courageous enough to say something. And some of them did give direction. And I'll tell you something else they did. They prayed for me. They carried a burden for me. There was nothing perfect about me. But there were possibilities. And they prayed. And thank God they were in my life. But here this man is watched, he is seen. And you and I, like him, sometimes waste. We waste things that are his. We're stewards of the gospel message. The gospel of God's grace that reached us, that God intends should reach the hearts of every man. Some devoted their lives to it. Some have ruined their health for it. They have done everything within their power, and at times it almost seems beyond, stretching themselves beyond limits. And what have we done? Sometimes we won't even walk across the road and invite a neighbor. Now, I know neighbors are hard to reach. That man I spoke of died one Christmas time when we were away. And so far as I know, even though he'd been invited to come and hear the gospel, it won't be 27 minutes or 23 minutes in hell. It's forever. And we're stewards, responsible for the gospel that reached us and changed our lives and caused us to have a focus that we never could have had before. And we're also stewards when it comes to shepherding. There's a responsibility for those who lead amongst God's people. There's a responsibility for all of us in some way to be a shepherd, to show a kindness and a care and a love for all. But specifically, there are those, and some of them do their job so nobly, and some of them skip out and head to Florida. Sorry, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a vacation. But I do wonder sometimes when there are needs and concerns amongst God's people, how we take our responsibility. And then I was thinking how that there's the church of God. And those who teach and those who lead are vital in that responsibility. Now I'm going to move on from there. I want you to think, thirdly, of our work review. He's told, verse 2, the big questions asked, a date set for responsibility. And I'm sure it hit this man like a ton of bricks. How could this be? I never dreamt it would be like this. And then you find next he's wondering. And the man that had not been responsible with his master's goods, he's now asking himself serious questions. How can it have come to this? I can see the writing on the wall. This is the man who so glibly speaks about my master, my Lord. And yet, here he is. And the questions are being asked in his own soul. What was I thinking? What is my life? What have I wasted? Where will it end? He faces his future and he doesn't like his chances. Do you know, child of God, there's going to be accountability. Wow. We talk about what a day it's going to be when the Lord comes. And it is going to be one glorious day. But we have an accountability. We have a responsibility. We are going to stand just like this man was going to. He was going to stand before his Lord. The thrill of seeing his face, hearing his voice, looking on his wounds, bowing in his presence, filling the heavens with song. Precious and wonderful as it is, how solemn, how serious. Oh, how we wonder what it will be like to stand alone with him. Not only the wondering, notice the worry. Verse 3, there's one motivating factor, it seems. And what is that motivating factor? I'm ashamed. Shame. Will it be shame when I meet him? Will I look into his face and wish? Oh, how I'd wish I'd given him more. I'm not just talking about money, and neither was the hymn writer when he was talking about that, but more of my life than I ever gave before. When by and by I look on his face, won't I wish I'd given him more? Notice, we've been given so much. Obviously, he had been given a tremendous responsibility in that household. His Lord had put into his hands the responsibility for various things, and we have been given so very much from God. And sometimes I can just hardly keep myself from singing. Safer to do in the shower, but hardly keep myself from singing as I think of the wonder of it all. and the joys of God's salvation and the blessedness of being ready for heaven and the wonder that He's opened up my heart and my mind to have a capacity for the people of God and divine things, and it's all really so very special. He's put so much in our hands. And the day is coming when you and I must give account. You notice that anxiety and anxiousness and all of that, unease and a troubled heart, it doesn't change anything. Maybe you feel some unease as you think about meeting the Lord Jesus. Maybe today you feel a certain amount of regret. You wonder how it'll go with you. You know, worrying about it won't change anything. But you and I have still got time to do something that might bring His smile. Notice the wrong, verse 4. Now what He does seems recognizably wrong. It seems deplorable. How could two wrongs ever make a right like it is here? But His Lord sees something in what this man does that commends Him. I think that's absolutely amazing. How could the Lord look on what this man does and see something to commend when it seems wrong? Isn't it interesting to think that our Lord Jesus looks on our life and He may well see things that we've never recognized for their worth? Let me just illustrate this, and it's a personal story. A number of years ago when I was in business and doing reasonably well, there was a young lady who came, and I had no romantic interest in her, but I did have a spiritual interest in her, and I realized that where she was, she had no access to the assembly meetings, and I offered to go out weeknights and pick her up and bring her to the meetings. And to me, it was nothing. It was easy. And she has spoken to me. I'm certain, every time she's seen me, to thank me for that little thing. Because it meant so much to her spiritual welfare. I had no idea of the value of the thing I was doing. And as the Lord looks on our life, we need to stop and think about the things that we're doing. And what we're doing them with. This is His. This is His business. This is His purposes that are far greater than any earthly ones. And here's this man, and we see what God sees. Notice the wisdom in verse 8. Because here is someone who shows, and according to the Lord's confession, He shows that he acted wisely. That's what it says. He was wise in dealing with his own generation. And it's kind of interesting to me to see that it seems that he was pulling out all the resources in order to protect himself. It was obvious that he had a clear objective to survive the day of examination. And the Lord says, the children of this age are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Do we know how to deal with our generation? We're living in a generation that largely does not fear God. And for the most part, their chosen end is going to be a lost eternity. And here we find that this man, he understands something. He knows how to deal with his own generation, and he does it so that it comes out for his eventual advantage. He does this so that he's going to survive this examination. And he shows us, if you like, how to use what you're given, that you only have power over or control over for a little time, while it's still yours. Use what you're given so that the final result is gain. And I'm not sure I've got all the sense of this, but the Lord says, it was wise. Are we wise enough to use what we're given? Those skills, those abilities, the call of God, the various things that we have in our life. Are we wise enough to use what we're given while we still have control of it for gain, for God, for His glory? You'll notice another thing in this passage, and rather than sticking our heads in the sand and hoping it will go away, we need to recognize that there are some things that are very serious. And we've got the worthy way that's described for us in verse 10 to 13. And it seems to contrast really, yet it's linked. And it gives us some understanding about what our service should be. The Lord Jesus talks about true riches. And He wants us to be faithful. And I think that that's the emphasis when it comes to stewards. It is required that a steward be found faithful. I think that there's diligence involved in getting at it. Faithfulness is so valued that it leads to a great reward. And someday, I think every one of us will be amazed as we stand in His presence and receive from our lives those things that we have sought to yield for Him, those things that we have sought to use for Him, using what He has put us in trust with, so it leads to His glory. Be diligent. Be real. No one can serve two masters. It's not possible. Be loyal. If we profess and claim to be His servant, if we own Him as our Lord, and brethren, there is a serious relationship between us and our God, and that serious relationship is serious enough to require me to be diligent, to be faithful, to be active, to be useful for Him. I was thinking too, when you come down to verse 14, you've got the worldly wise authorities, and they scoff at the words of the Lord Jesus. They mock at Him, and the authorities of this world still mock at a believer who lays his life down at the feet of the Lord Jesus, who uses his opportunities for things that count more than the stuff of the world, who devotes himself to Christ and lives for His glory. Oh, thank God He gives us the wisdom from above to enlighten us, to instruct us. Today it seems as though our fellow men are more self-indulgent and lifted up than ever. And for a humble believer, just to fit into God's will, just to act as that steward who is faithful, who does what He wants us to do, who lives as He wants us to live. And you know, the world will still go on mocking, but the Savior's smile will be the result. You can justify yourself. He tells us that here. Just as those Pharisees did. He says, you are they that justify yourselves before men. And you know, we can find an excuse for any kind of living. We can find a reason, so to speak, for whatever we do. We can defend ourselves to the nth degree. But when we stand before Him, we will know that God knows. And He knows all the truth, and there's nothing hidden from Him. It's not only important to do it sometime, it's important to start right now. A steward called to answer before his Lord. And someday, it won't just be a parable or a story in the Bible. Someday, it'll be me. Someday, It will be you. What a day. What a day that will be.